everybody. Welcome to Puck Off. The Captain Frazier is in Vegas. And fantasy winner Jose, well, I guess it's early to call Jose Galvez. He could not be here. He was supposed to be. We have a special guest that I believe is coming, but he got tied up. And the great Corey Hirsch has big boy meetings at Sportsnet. So me, Joe Bartnick, is here all alone with our great producer, Andrew. But we are here. We are literally like the guys after the empty net goal that get put on the ice just to salvage what is left and of a pretty rotten weekend for the wife and the mistress, I guess. For the captain, Frazier, I guess Detroit squeaked one out last night, so they're a little bit better off than the Penguins and the Kings. The Kings, I believe, unless a Calgary absolute collapse, that by the time you hear this, could be dead. And if you're a Penguin fan, you know that the Penguins are dead. So you know, what's funny is that, you know, I'm not really shocked about the Penguins thing going on. I thought they'd have a tough season. I did not like the roster except for the core four, I guess, Sid, Gino, Letang, and Fleury. And none of those guys can be blamed. I've always said, Sid, take your balls out of your purse. Come on. Sid can't do anything more. I can't be any, the word wouldn't be proud, but I can't be any more happier. I mean, what, Sid's got the first goal like the last four games in a row. We're taping this on Wednesday. You blow a 3-0 lead when all you have to do is lay down in front of the puck. Jesus. And I mean, they've blown the last four games, they've blown a 3-goal lead, a 2-goal lead, and 2 1-goal leads. Gino's playing on one leg because they literally got no one else. I mean, you know, the Penguins are, they have like, six guys, if everyone's healthy, they have about 6-7 guys that play on good, that would play on the Chicago Blackhawks. And that's it. You know, I know you have Sid and Gino and carried them a long way, but everybody else, maybe except for Hornquist up front, has been the past. I mean, do we have not the weakest Sutter of all time? I mean, he scores a couple flashy goals, which is what none of the Sutter. He's like the inverse of a Sutter. A couple flashy goals and then just dead IQ hockey. Winnick, our coach, he's bewildered. He's a midget coach or whatever, junior A coach. He didn't know to put Maxime LaPerriere out there to win a draw. LaPerriere comes over here, hasn't done anything in 2 months, except maybe win a couple draws. Ian Cole was a good move, but the bottom line is we have all summer to discuss what went wrong. I don't think the Penguins are going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to get, and if you know anything about Penguin history, no team has been more torturous in putting the dagger in the Penguins than the New York Islanders. And that's who they play on Friday, probably when the night you'll be listening to this. And, the Islanders are hungrier, younger, and that crowd will turn in Consol Energy Center. It's the game, final game of the year where they give the shirts off their backs, usually a nice time for everybody. Let me tell you something. Unless they get the quasi-country club first 30 rows people at Consol, those fans will rip the jerseys off those imposters that the Penguins – the thing that hurt was Olli Mäta got hurt, and that was your second or third best defenseman. That means they couldn't trade Paul Martin and get more people for him. But, we'll get into the GM, last GM debacles, this GM's debacles, the idiot coach. That's for another day. Now, the LA Kings, my mistress, could not wipe out the Edmonton Oilers last night because the great Daryl Sutter wanted to do a little barbecue Bruce, but kind of a genius barbecue Bruce, but he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He tried to pass Martin Jones, who's had a good year, as quickie, and go in there and steal 2 points in Edmonton and rest quick for the rest of the season. Unfortunately, Daryl, there may be no more rest of the season because, you know, Jones did not play a horrible game, but maybe Quickie could have stopped some of those. And the king, the mistress, my mistress is no more. I mean, they're done. They are done. They are done, done, done. And watch them. By the time you listen to this, they'll be back in the race. That's usually the way it happens on this show. But that's the way it is. Now, what happened? What's the Kings' demise, if you will? Well, you know, their third best maybe their second best defenseman, even Voinov went crazy on his girlfriend or wife or whatever, baby mama, and he's got bigger problems than losing to Edmonton. But that was their big demise, and they, you know, they thought they could turn it off, and they kind of just waited till the very, very end. And you know what? It really this show is not about the demise of Stanley Cup champions or the demise of, you know, just, you know, like Casino. They had everything and they effed it up, the Pittsburgh Penguins. This should be a joyous time for teams like the Calgary Flames. Are you kidding me? They lose their best player and they just keep on rolling. They lost Ramo the other night. Hiller comes in, boom, keeps the train moving forward. Just, I mean, Bob Hartley. I mean, you'd say he's the hands-on coach of the year, but then you look at Paul Maurice. I mean, look at the Winnipeg Jets. I thought they lost the trade to Buffalo. I was like, yeah, you know, Tyler Myers, maybe he'll pan out. Stafford, what did he score? You know, he doesn't do much. Stafford scoring big goals. Tyler Myers, he does look like a young Chara now. And you know, he's playing great. You know, then they lose their heart and soul. I mean, Paul Maurice first deals with the Kane debacle. He deals with that thanks to Big Buff, pretty much. Then they lose Big Buff to stupidity. They just keep rolling on. You know, I mean, but they got legs. They got some guys that get. I mean, Shifley and Little scoring some big goals, just moving the defense. I mean, Myers has played great. Enstrom. Krupa, and I'm forgetting somebody back there. And then Pavlik. I mean, everyone's like, I thought their run was because of Hutchinson, you know, and then Hutchinson called off. I'm like, well, they're pretty much done. Pavlik comes in, slams it. First time in Winnipeg Jet history, 2 back-to-back shutouts. Going back to Brett Hall's dad. Nobody had 2 shutouts. So, cheers to them and the Calgary Flames. I mean, playing hard. And then people in Minnesota can't wait to hear. And cheers to Minnesota. They clinched last night. Can you believe that? They clinched a playoff spot after lying down like a bunch of dogs for Mike Yo. They beat the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks. And I thought it was nice. Everyone made a big deal. Like Quinville went in and shook their hands. Like, hey, good job, guys. Thanks for making the playoffs, because now maybe we won't have to face the Kings. Yeah. You don't think Quinville's happy that they're going to play Minnesota, possibly not the Kings? I love Quinville, man. What a great coach. What a great. I mean, you talk about it. I mean, they lose. I mean, that's the thing. You know, injuries, excuse me. I mean, the Blackhawks lost Patrick Kane. It's like they stepped it up even more. So there's no excuse. Not a show for excuses, not a show for excuses, a show for winners. Speaking of winners, the New York Rangers, President's Trophy winners, the President's Cup. I think someone was calling it the President's Cup. I've always known it as the President's Trophy. So that's never a good sign to win the President's Trophy for some reason, at least for the Rangers. But you know, let me tell you, the Rangers are the best team in the East, hands down. How about that big kid Hayes? Hayes, are you kidding me? He's like a better version of Kreider. I mean, you know, really love him. I mean, The only thing I see wrong, the only thing I see that the, and I don't think it's going to hit them until the finals, actually, is they need to get Klein back on the D line. Because I know I've called, you know, Yandel a skirt. And then you say, oh, Yandel scores power play points. Oh, I saw Yandel got a nice assist. Then you see Yandel getting worked over in his own end. And come, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, whether it be, you know, the Montreal Canadiens or the, or I guess, or even the first round. I mean, they play Washington or they, well, I guess the, let's say the second round. They play Washington or possibly the Islanders. I don't know what he's going to do. Mr. Yandel, they need Klein back. But right now, I mean, the Rangers are completely the team to beat in the East. Because what is, I mean, Montreal, what is happening if you don't get Matt Pacioretty back? He's a leader on that team, big time scorer. I mean, Pacioretty, if you look this season, who has scored big goals, you know, goals that change games. Have changed games. Maybe not the game win. I guess it would be maybe even the game win. Just big time goals. I would have to put Pacioretty way up there with Mr. Nash. You know, I can't think of anybody else. I mean, maybe Kane when he was playing Taves, but that's about it. I mean, that's the rarefied air that he's been playing with. But when you look at the East. I mean, who's going to stop him? Who's going to stop him in the East? Even the captain's not here to defend his team, but Detroit just Howard just stole one last night, and I guess he's back leading the ship. He actually won a shootout this weekend as well, and Mazarek kind of crap on the bed a little bit this weekend, and that now they got Datsyuk back, which is huge. I mean, him and Zetterberg basically stole a point last night and helped stop the free-for-all. Now it's funny when you're winning, hey, everything's great. Now people are saying, well, they really missed Franzen and the Mule, and they didn't miss them when Nyquist and all those guys were going crazy. So I don't know, but I think when they get the goaltending situation, you wouldn't want to play the Detroit. It's kind of an interesting thing. Like, what's a sadder legacy? If Babcock finally doesn't make the playoffs, I guess that's sadder after 24 years than the Penguins. But you know, interesting. But you know, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Lundqvist looks good. Lundqvist looks back in form. That's why the Rangers have to be the pick coming out of the East. And Washington, you know, don't count out Ovi's still slinging it. He's crushing it. But we'll get to, you know, we have a couple weeks of procrastinations. Let's look at the big news that's happened this week. First of all, congratulations to Barbecue Bruce. Winning another division title. If Bruce puts banners up in his house for division titles, he doesn't have any walls left. Unless he's saving one for a Stanley Cup banner. But, you know, we always pick on Bruce. But I think he's won like the six of the last seven division titles he's been up for. Now, a tap of the stick for all the ones in the Pacific Division or whatever it was called. Before that, I mean, the Southeast Division, you know, maybe put an asterisk next to those ones. But Barbecue, where would we be without Barbecue? What if Babcock stayed with Anaheim? Where would Barbecue be? He'd be on Hockey Night with Corey Hirsch. Strange thing happened this weekend, and a lot of strange things happened in Philly, and we'll get to those. But for some of the awards, but Paul Dvorsky retired, arguably one of the worst referees in the history of refereeing. And I think the referees that go out with the Globetrotters have more of a clue about what's going on in the game. But they made it like, you know, Scotty Bowman was retired. Like, the Penguins went over after a pathetic loss in Philly. That is one thing. I don't care they don't make the playoffs. They're not going to win anything. It'd be great. It'd be great. Lemieux, get a little more revenue. It'd be great to say we've made the playoffs all these years, but they need to regroup. There's a lot of things wrong, like I said, we'll get to. But losing every game to the Flyers. I remember when we won every game against the Flyers, I wanted to build a statue to Therrien. Not to lose everyone. I don't care if they would have went 8-75 or whatever the math is. Just beat the Flyers every single time. Makes me sick. But that game, they went over. After losing to Philly, they went and shook Paul Dvorsky's hand. Like, oh, have a great life. They should have kicked him in the head. The NHL's 15 years backwards. They finally, the two referee system and getting clean up the game, that lasted about a couple of years. Now it's back to crap. The Kings signed Pearson to a 2-year deal. He's hurt right now. He was on the original 70s line. Which now Dwight King, who's also a 70, guys, but Pearson's younger than King. I don't know King's contract. He might be on the move, but all the other 70s guys, Toffoli signed in. All the other young guys, the Kings kind of, and Nolan is Jordan Nolan, he's a 70 guy. That's what makes me think it's going to be like the Game of Thrones wedding with the Kings this summer. I think everyone's going. I think everybody's going except for a couple guys. Like, you're going to have these young guys. Well, the young guys, and then all the old blood will be out the door. You watch. But it's needed. It's needed here. It's needed. It's time for a shakeup as well in Los Angeles. Tap of the stick to the great Lindy Ruff, who, he shredded his team. I mean, it was great. Friday night, he said, he shredded his team, but he said it was his fault. He said he's not coaching up his team enough. If they're still blowing leads at this point in the season, he is not doing enough. He puts the blame on himself. Could you imagine Mike Johnson going out there? Yeah, Mike, you were doing good things. I see good things. I mean, talk about someone deer in the headlights. Oh, worst thing that ever happened. I'm gonna do a show this summer on the 5 dates in the last 6 years. Why the fall of the empire of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And one of them will be when Dan Blausma was named the coach of the Olympic team. They've been un-American to fire him and get the great Lindy Ruff. But you got to love Lindy Ruff. Lindy Ruff's team's playing harder, and they're 8 points out of a playoff spot than the Penguins are playing. And they're, and they're battling for their lives. Love Lindy Ruff. Another thing that happened was Robin Ford, the coked-up mayor of the Toronto. Aaron made a big deal. He was like doing coke and banging hookers, and I thought it's a sign of a good mayor. Someone to get something done, right, Andrew? I mean, that's my kind of guy. But I guess he got fired. I guess he's not the mayor up there anymore. But now he's on the Hall of Fame board of directors in Toronto. So I guess they're throwing out the character clause. It'll no longer be involved in picking your... I don't even know if they ever had one in hockey. But, people are all upset about Rob Ford being on the Hall of Fame Board of Directors, which is – I think it's funny. And, you know the guy knows hockey. He's from Toronto. Well, I guess he needs a job. So he'll enjoy the free buffet. I love Rob Ford. And if you saw this, Showtime has a thing. It's 60 Minutes on Sports. It's like 60 Minutes, the same thing, all that stuff. And it's all about – it's sports. It's none of the, Afghanistan crap or, whatever. Someone's curing some disease. It's all sports. And they had a piece on P.K. Subban. Now, you're a listener. You know how much I love P.K. But totally interesting. It's always the guys that work the hardest, and it was showing how his dad – would come out and he'd come home from working like 2 jobs and they'd go, he'd wake PK up and they'd go play at like midnight out in the park in Toronto. And they still had some of the guys who he was playing with back then, still playing a little shinny out there in the park. So that was nice. You get to see a little peek in the PK Subban who was a little bit misunderstood on the ice. I think he came in a little cockier and you think he's been a little bit humbled, but, wouldn't you want him on your team? Oh, my God. And you know why he's great now? The great Michael Therrien. I think it's really to see, especially you Penguin fans. he literally, they have a piece. I guess it ran on like 24/7, the Canadians show I watch every now and then. But Therrien basically called Subban into his office and on this year basically chewed him out. Said, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, and get your head out of here, you know what? That's Therrien telling Subban with, you know, with his Norris trophy in his hand. It's like, and that's what the Penguins haven't had since Therrien left. I mean, you don't think Therrien would, you think Disco or, you know, or Johnson now has ever said, hey Sid, how about not throwing that cross-ice pass through the power play? It, you know, not worked every single time. Penguins have 10 shorthanded goals against this year. That's just a crime. Oh, and Pouliot. We never traded Pouliot. He's some big up-and-coming defenseman. Are you kidding me? Pouliot's a bigger skirt. He's a bikini. He's not even a skirt. He's a bikini. I've seen him pushed off the pucks many times, and hey, I know he's young, but let me tell you something. When Subban was young, when Doughty was young, Doughty looked amazing. I remember going to like, who the hell is that kid? That kid's going to be amazing. And I remember when Letang came up for 10 and then went back, you could just see he just had an inner strength, like a little edginess to his game, just a little bit like not going to get pushed around, even though he was, you know, young and 19 and stuff. Like, that's what Tanger had. Tanger was a man. Pouliot, man, you blow him over. Yeah, there goes Pouliot. I don't know why they kept him like a prize. All those guys, everyone Shiro drafted. All right. We talked about Subban, the backup goes. Here's some fun stuff. The great, still the second greatest Penguin of all time, Jaromir Jagr, as we speak, is tied with, the third greatest Penguin of all time. Although he's now, you know, the Carolina Hurricane president, he's their franchise. Captain Ron Francis at 1798 points for Jaromir Jagr. Yeah, wouldn't he have been a better pick than Daniel Winnick? Wouldn't he look better right now for the Penguins than Daniel Winnick? Jagr wouldn't have, Malkin wouldn't have to play on half a knee. Maybe they'd score in a power play. Oh, no, Winnick. Yeah, Winnick's killing penalties. Great. He's taking penalties. Anyway, Jagr right now is 52 behind Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe, and 52 and 30. He's about 90 away from Mark Messier. And this, my friends, is for Jags and Captain Ron are tied for fourth. So if he gets 90, give or take, goals, if he plays or points, plays two more years, which it looks like he still can, especially on a Florida team with young guys that he can play the power play. These guys are scoring at will. Not at will, but scoring well. He could easily get in the number two. And I know we say it, but just think, Europe for 3 years, two holdouts. He'd be at the two grand mark. Still nowhere near the great one. It's just ridiculous. Gretzky, 2000. He has 1,000 more points, basically, than number two. Just insane. On a sad note, though, probably the oldest living remaining NHLer died. Elmer Locke. He was a Canadian. He was a center. He was basically as old as the league by like 3 months. He was in the. He remembers the league when the Pittsburgh Pirates were in it. But how about this for history? He played center on the punch line with Toe Blake and Rocket Richard. He had the only assist on the Rockets 50-for-50. Good stuff there. So it's sad the Nads, the Canadians, lost the two of the best. Lost like, you know, Beliveau and him all in the same year. As if they need any more ghosts to help them out, the Canadians. Now they sent a couple big guns up there. couple of big ones. Maybe they won't miss Pacioretty. You know, what's interesting about Pacioretty was he got it wasn't a dirty hit, but it was Kulikov again. Kulikov is doing them kind of Russian things. It's just kind of and I'm Mr. Pro Russian, as opposed to a lot of people who, you know, not even Don Cherry's, but you know, like people who crap on Malkin or crap on all the Russians in that matter. I'm pretty much pro Russian. But their defensemen, their defensemen come in two kinds. They're either the Sergei Gonchar, Sergei Zubov, who, you know, classy, almost Lady Bings, but they're not Lady Bings, but, you know, move the puck, sweet skating, like the old system, or they're just nasty, just like Kasparaitis and this guy. Fun stuff. Good times. Yeah, man, it's, the Penguins are done. Penguins are done. Oh, you say, oh, but they're not going to beat the Islanders. So if you're listening to this on the way home Friday night in your car, you can turn on the game and say they were up 3-0 against Ottawa. You think they'd be that's one thing. Because I think if this goes the way it is, I'm going to root for not the Islanders on Friday night, obviously, but I'm going to root for the Islanders probably to come out of the East. Because I love John Tavares. Are you kidding me? He's starting to get his supporting cast is falling away as well. But he's still scoring. He's the embodiment of a scoring leader. And Stamkos has been lighting the lamp too. But Tavares is just playing outstanding hockey, while the rest of his team is just sliding away, but they're still like 1 point ahead of the Penguins as we speak. Let's look at the wild card listings. Looking at I always print these too small. The Isle is 2 points up with two to play. So, but I guess they didn't clinch either yet, so it's a big game for them too, which is not bode well. We haven't talked about the Bees, and I've been a little bit harsh on them, but they're hanging in there. Their young kids are playing tough. Their young defenseman scored the other night, the big OT winner, I think, against the Wings. And they're coming through. You know, Luch has carried them a little bit. But then they got these young guys, Pasternak and Spooner, some of the young D. Because I'll tell you one thing, Chara is looking old. We'll get to that in a second. But Chara, they have to put McQuaid with Chara now. It used to be, and that really hurts them on the back end, because it's nice to have McQuaid on a different pairing, because he's a good defenseman himself. It kind of spreads him a little. Don't like that, because unless you're in the playoffs in tight third period, it's nice to not load up all your, it's nice to put someone of lesser ilk with Char, because he can handle it and then kind of spread the wealth. But Char is just looking old and slow. He's making mistakes. You never see Char wishy-washy in his own end. You know, it's happening. I'll tell you what, Ottawa, Mark Mathot. I mean, could anyone have envisioned Mark Mathot would? I mean, he was injured. He comes back. They're like, oh, he gets to sign a deal, or they're going to trade him. I was hoping he would be on the open market at the trade deadline, but he signed up. He's from Ottawa. He wants to be a senator, and good for him, because him and Carlson, he makes Carlson all the great. I think that's why Dowdy had a weird year. Whenever Muzzin wasn't his partner, and that's why Letang is up. All these offensive defensemen need a steady guy with them who knows how to play with them, because they're always taking chances. And as soon as they got Mathot back, Carlson just took off. Now people are talking about Carlson's in the Norris candidacy. Now, my argument against that is he was a -3 last night in the first period. I know he assisted on the game-winning goal, but Norris guys aren't -3s in the first periods. You know, they're not. Of the most important game of the season, they're not -3s. But and who would be the Norris? That's who would be my Norris right now? God, and this isn't a homer call either. But Dowdy is just playing amazing. I mean, I don't think anyone wanted to win more on the Kings, and that says something. That team has heart, not the bums the Penguins are. But well, you know, minus if that's because I hate to disparage Hornquist and Sid and Gino and Flower, but and Paul Martin, who's playing out of contract and could easily probably pull a fake injury like that pantsuit Ehrhoff probably. They're like, a headache. Ehrhoff better give us give his money back for what we paid for that clown. But anyway, Dowdy was playing his butt off last night, trying to do it all. We ready for the, I think we should do the awards. Andrew, what award do you want to start out with here? You can play Mr. DJ.
Let's start with Save of the Week.
Save of the Week. Here we go. Yeah. That, you know, that brings up I'm going to get to the Save of the Week, but that brings up a very good point. Not a good point, a kind of a very sad point, but a one that should be noted on this show, is that if the Kings make the playoffs, there's a really, really good chance, knock on wood, that we've been offered it, and I think we're going to do it, that me and Frazier, our captain here at Puck Off, would be doing the pre- and post-game shows on KABC. For not taking Nick Nixon's job, but having it longer at the beginning and longer at the end, like, you know, just having it more coverage, and just kind of, you know, they want to have a little fun with it and bring in Frazier, who of course is a radio god in LA, and then you know, me just to say something stupid and get the FCC involved. But you know, they have to make it. And the funny thing about all this, it made me think of Cinderella, is because. I turned down a gig on the Rock and Roll Cruise, like 10 minutes a night to go cruise around for a week in the Bahamas, because I thought, well, we're going to do the pre and post game on KABC. I don't want to miss that. Thanks, Kings. Thanks, Daryl. Thanks for playing Martin Jones. All right, but here, back to this day as well. You know, we can always pick Quickie. Quickie has a million of them. Quick had one on Nail Yakupov. Remember the game they won 8-2, meaningless? Yeah, Quick made a bunch of saves in that one. He got Nail pretty good. Nail's, I hope we trade for Nail, Penguins, because I like that name. Mazarek on Erickson. Of Boston, when Erickson was on the power play right down in front. Sweet ass save, Mazarek. Sweet ass save. Now we have Elliot from St. Louis. We're going to get Corey next week, but he was busy. But yeah, there's a lot of that because now we kind of feel like now Hojo's kind of, I was Cal, Jimmy Howard, Hojo for some reason. Now Jimmy Howard's kind of ahead of Mrazek on the depth chart a little bit. And now it looks like Allen's kind of ahead of Elliot on the depth chart. It'll be a good week, but like I said, he's got big boy things at Sportsnet and can't make it fit. But Elliot, big save on Tyler Seguin on the breakaway. That's not a save on Craig Adams on the breakaway or a save on whoever plugger, AHL, or you want to name. But a big save on Seguin on the breakaway. Then we have Tyler Toffoli in front on the power play was absolutely robbed by Sergei Varlamov of the Colorado Avalanche. That was probably the best save of these saves. Then we have the great Devin Dubnyk of your Minnesota Wild. He stopped Helm on a breakaway, Detroit's Helm. Really sweet save. Now we have the other guy in St. Louis, Allen, the guy who I now looks like he might be the guy. You never know. Actually, Ken Hitchcock, Captain Kangaroo, was playing barbecue Bruce games. He stopped Shaw and Bickle on a two on none. He stopped Shaw and Bickle, so that was really impressive. And then you know what? Two saves left. One was a lack on Kopitar. Just really put the screws. That was really kind of when it was like, well, the Kings really are making it hard for themselves. Was Eddie Lack just slammed the door on Kopitar. Slammed the door Monday Night Raw. Eddie Lack, love that story. We get bagging here. He's got to be on cloud nine. You know what's funny is that Vancouver was 0-3 this year when they went as the Millionaires. Just think if they didn't dress up as the Millionaires like once a month, they'd be really so. Oh, they're in. So I actually Vancouver is my second. I think Chicago is going to win the West. But if I had to pick a dark horse, I would say Vancouver, and then Cinderella would be Winnipeg. But we have plenty of time to get to those. Here is the official save of the week. It is Corey Crawford on Peter Stastny on a breakaway twice. first he made the initial save, and then Stastny got the rebound, shot it back, and Crawford swatted that with his stick. Really, that was an amazing save. That is the save of the week. Right there. Uh-oh. The goon of the week. Here we go. We got, first we have Chris Kunitz, who hasn't scored since the, I'll quote the great Mike Lang, since the seventh grade picnic. He hit Schultz of the Flyers and knocked the glass out. But it was probably the weakest knocking the glass out of a hit I've ever seen. But we'll still count it. Now we have Bolig, one of our favorites on the Goons of the Week. He absolutely crushed Barrick Jackman of the St. Louis Blues. And then, boom, Bortz came in. Our old buddy Robert Bertuzzo comes in and saves the day for Brian Bolig. Or for Jackman. Also, we have Scotty Gomez. Remember Scotty Gomez for the Devils? He elbows Emelin of the Canadiens, boom, right in the face. Not very nice, Mr. Scotty Gomez. Now, here's what we're talking about, about Chara getting old. We get Chara in here. Chara boarded Smith of Toronto. He hit him, and it was like watching a tree slowly go down. Oh, Chara's getting old. But he did put a nice hit on Smith of Toronto. Then we have Seabrook of Chicago. You know Mr. Seabrook, Brent Seabrook. He crushed Reeves, that freight train in St. Louis, and loosened one of his teeth where Reeves went back to the bench and pulled his own tooth out. Reeves is a bad, bad man. Then we have the great Chris Kunitz once again making the board because he shot the puck into the empty net in Philly. And it was so great because you knew Philly would go nuts because they're morons in the Neanderthals. So it erased their power play they were going to get. It was one of those things where you touch the puck and the play's dead on the delayed penalty. So he shot it, and I think he might have even missed the net, but he shot it at the net, and they just went nuts. Like Voracek got a 10 minute. With misconduct, and then they got someone got a 2 minute roughing, and he erased the power play. But that was just such stupidity by the Flyers, known for their stupidity. You knew it would work. But that's the one thing I wanted to talk to Corey about this week was because he went all over Twitter saying how it wasn't cool and it was really classless. But that's the whole point. It was against the Flyers. You knew they were going to snap. And I didn't even think the referees would even – I thought the referees would be on the Flyers side because, like I said, it was Dvorsky, but it didn't happen. So we have Adams in that same game. Yes, my old buddy Adams. He bloodied Braden Schenn, the Flyers. So that's good. F the Flyers. Then we have a Zidlicky of Detroit against Tom Wilson. Now Tom Wilson hit him with a nice clean high hard hit. It was a little dirty. It's Tommy Wilson. He's never totally clean. But then Zidlicky did the old Russian thing of like the hip check, and it wasn't low, but it was like a hip check, kind of cheesy. And if it was anybody but against Wilson, probably more of a stink. But it wasn't the penalty. It wasn't just kind of, you're going to get back. Hell, I respect a slash more than I respect a hip, like that. But then we have Jack Johnson just sucker punching Hornquist in the face. I don't know if he thought Hornquist knew where all his money was, but he's punched him right in the face. And then the one last night, Griba of the Ottawa Senators pulled a Milan Lucic, and he sticked Sid right in the balls. Not very nice, Griba, but that's the old Milan Lucic. Did you see that one on the? You see that one, Andrew?
I didn't see.
And well, we know how that's Luch. I'm sure the captain saw that one on. I'm sure that one made SportsCenter. They love seeing that. That's what they love showing on SportsCenter. But made the rounds. But it was a huge. And Sid to his Sid came stayed in the game. And insert and Philly fans, you can insert all your jokes you want there. I will not go there. Now let's go to. We actually have we'll give out the. Even though the captains, I heard we will give out the in the captain's honor, we will give out the. We won't say the Bob Probert. We will say the Bob Probert.
Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
There we go. Kind of a reach, not a reach because this guy is a tough guy. He plays with heart on his sleeve. But we have Ryan Garbutt with a goal and a big elbow, not a fight, but a big elbow, a Dusty Rhodes American Dream, as our super producer Sean steps in. No, it's old school, right? The big American Dream elbow. It's like it was like a pre elbow pad, Dusty Rhodes kind of. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Daddy. Oh, let me tell you something. All right. Fantasy Award, even though he's not here to pick up his award, he backed out. It looks like, and he called it. Andrew is always on it. He should be coaching the Penguins. How'd you get a too many men on the ice penalty when you're playing for your lives? I like how I'm mixing in and out my rage at the Penguins in every couple lines. Anyway, it looks like, but it'll be officially confirmed next week, but it looks like elbowing Jose Galvez cannot be caught because he's still at 101 and 9.5 back is Giroux's butt grab. So that looks like where that goes. The captain's not here, but there was no Claude Lemieux award winner because Cody Golubuth and he came out of the box and missed on he got stopped on the breakaway and Pageau of Ottawa was denied by the Flower. So no one gets the Claude Lemieux award, even though there's no music for that. Because Fraser hates Claude Lemieux. Now we go to the. Look at that. Right there. Andrew. Did you give the award to Andrew? But we've been crapping on the Penguins now for 43 minutes. And this award goes to the great, the Hall of Famer, Mike Lang, the voice of the Penguins, who, next to Lemieux, is the second most important person in Pittsburgh hockey. When there is nothing, everyone's like, we like that. I don't know much anything about hockey, but we love that announcer. Every big saying in hockey is Mike Lang's. Beat him like a rented mule. Elvis has left the building. All that, you can. There's 100 of them. There's a T-shirt of them. There's a book of them, I think. Anyway, Penguins celebrated 40 years of him. And he got – it was named Mike Lang Day. He got a bunch of big awards, and that's just a tap of the stick to my hero, the best. It's a crime he's on the television, so everyone can't enjoy him. But he's on iHeartRadio and all that stuff. But anyway, the great Mike Lang, he gets the D.O. Thank God for Mike Lang, at least, in the Penguins organization. Now we have our very special guest. We have a special guest kind of saving me the last 15 minutes. We love it. Paul Mercurio's here.
What's up, man?
Hey, you know, if you, you know, hey, the Kings are out. The Penguins are sucking. I mean. Yeah.
What happened to your Penguins this year?
I don't know. They didn't help you last night either.
No, I know. It's like, you know, we can't.
Paul's a Bruin guy.
Yeah. I think this is going to be Claude Julien's last year.
They've been trying to get him out. I mean, he wins just enough that they keep, like, yeah, they hate the fact that he keeps winning. They want to get rid of him.
I know, but this is like we're barely squeaking in.
Right.
Right. It's us and the Senators tied with 95 points. It's for the second wild card spot. Boston Bruins, they don't like that up there. They are to the fans for, they're nuts. They're like the Red Sox fans up there. They're out of their minds and they don't like taking this mediocre crap that we, and Julian sort of, he gets your, it's like this girl is like, you could take my bra off. Yeah. And then you go to take your bra off. Like, no, I'm not going to take your bra off. Right. So it's like, you think we're on a roll and we're going to really make an advance and then we don't. Right. So I feel like he's been our head coach 8 years. That's the longest tenure, I think, in the NHL for a coach. And
him or Babcock.
Yeah. So it's like, I think unless they make a deep run, I think he's gone.
Well, the interesting thing is they could make a deep run. I think the East, other than the Rangers, is wide open. I think everyone has a problem. I mean, Pacioretty's out now.
But the problem is the East in hockey is like the East in the NBA. Like, okay, so you get through the East, but then there's those other guys in the West you got to deal with.
Right. But you're saying you wouldn't be happy with an Eastern Conference final?
I would, but I think that's what he needs to save his job. This is my,
they say that every year about Julian. I mean, seriously.
maybe. That's true.
I think Shirelli's head should be on a platter, because I'll tell you, if he made one phone call, your whole season would be different. If he just traded Seidenberg, and Seidenberg is coming along okay now, but his knee was rusty for 6 months.
Yeah.
If he just would have got him to somewhere and kept Boychuk the whole season, he basically didn't want to make a phone call. He's like, oh, I'm just going to wave Boychuk.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I got a week's vacation coming up. I don't want to work. Let me just wave him and go on my vacation. I know, you're right. I mean, look, maybe they're set up right. I mean, Chara's back, his ankle's better.
He does not look like the old Chara.
He doesn't.
Though. I talked about that today. He doesn't.
38. I mean, you know, doing that for what, you know, since they were 14, 10 years old. You know?
I've loved, and the thing is, I love Chara, and I'm a name drop. There's people that, you know, like, oh, Chara, years ago, and I'm like, he takes up half the ice, half the game. Like, I love Chara. Like, right. You know, but this year he's making un-Chara-like plays. Yeah. They're playing McQuaid with him, which does not help because McQuaid, I think, is your second best defenseman.
Yeah.
So then it's like it's good to have McQuaid with somebody else.
Right.
When usually, like, Chara could play with, you know, I mean, it seems like people love Tory Krug. And to me, it's like he's just the guy that gets run over in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I don't know.
My most entertaining thing in hockey this year was actually seeing Crosby get in a fight. Like, he got in a fight. I don't think I had seen that in years, where he actually, like, took the gloves off and went out.
Yeah, he fought Dubinsky, which is like, yeah, geez. Columbus. That's the thing is, like, if I was a Boston fan, you know, like, I mean, when we won the cup, I'm like, I won't bitch down for 10 years.
Right.
But then you just see the institutional, like the GM and coach, just idiocy of the Penguins.
Yeah.
Because you can't blame Crosby. You can't blame Malkin. You can't blame Flower. It's like everything else is awful. But then you see the Bruins. It's like, okay, they're getting old. But my man crush is Luch.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, at least you got Pasternak, you got Spooner coming up.
Yeah.
You got Luch.
Yeah.
We got, you know, like, we nobody young. Bo Bennett, I mean, he hasn't scored one goal since like Thanksgiving. And he's our one forward that isn't like
right.
40 years old. You
see,
know?
I think for us, Bergeron, I mean, great, but, you know, he's been beaten up the last couple of years especially. Right. So I'm curious if he does a Chara next year and just really starts to slow down. And sometimes you got to worry because he's, you know, he's a great two-way player, right? But, like, in some ways, he's our best defensive player who's a defenseman. It's like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like the Bruins, you know, like Bill Belichick just seems to kind of have his finger on the pulse, like, okay, this, we got to get rid of this guy, because he's usually maybe misses a little bit, but not by much, but he knows when to jettison somebody and focus on the young or the new, or grab somebody in free agency. I feel like we kind of hung on too long, and now it's going to come back to bite us in the ass.
Well, I mean, you know, all the rumors about Sagan, but that was a disaster.
Yeah.
We can beat that to death, but I mean, that changed the whole. I mean, if you had Sagan and not Louis Erickson, you'd be
right.
I mean, look, you would be way ahead.
Yeah, I know, but
I'm not trying to rub it in. I mean, but that's like the one, you know,
right.
That was a mistake, you know. But in Krejci, whatever, he's injured or he's – I think Krejci's been the biggest disappointment.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's – when he's in there, he's eh. And then he had like a couple – like maybe a good week because that really – because it took him all season now to get two – it took him till a month ago to get two lines.
Right.
And this, the NHL today is not a two, it's like three lines. And think about when they were great, they were four lines.
Yeah.
What happened 2 years ago was they lost their good third line.
Right.
You know, and now they, and then up until 3 weeks ago, they lost their good second line.
Right. So it's like, yeah. And, you know, and I love Luch, but then you hear too, there's always rumblings up there of like, you know, well, maybe they use him, trade him, get some, you know, fresh picks and, you know, high picks and save money and all this. But, you know, I just think he gives that team kind of character. Like Chara used to, but Chara, I think, has slowed down.
You're not the big, bad Bruins when you don't have Luch.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference. Now it's like until 3 weeks ago, it's like people, you throw the puck in, okay, we'll go back and get the puck. not like 3 years ago when it's like, oh, either the Reverend Horton Heat or Luch is knocking my head off.
Right, exactly. And Wett's always been the personality of that team ever since I was a little kid. Like they came to play. Almost like, you know, we're one of the original six. Like in some ways, I think they feel like they own the NHL because of that. Like they're along with, you know what I mean? Like there's that sort of mentality of like, we're like the old school. And that's always been something that team ownership and management has like fostered. And I agree with you, but they, I don't know, you know, they get so crazy up there and it's like, oh, well, let's just clean house and we'll get some high picks and we'll get rid of Luch. And, you know, they want it instant, you know, they want it.
They should be backing off of that though now, because I'll tell you, Luch put those young kids on his back the last month, and that's why you're even in this conversation.
I know.
Not just, in this conversation, but the team is in this conversation. You know?
I don't know, man. I just worry. You get to the playoffs and it's a whole other ball of wax, you know?
I think you get to the playoffs and Rask is the second or third best goaltender in the East. He's third best.
But he's played 69 games. That's a high number for him, you know?
Well, it's another Chiarelli mistake, because your backup goaltender was awful.
Yeah.
And then Subban's brother comes in, and it was like he was rooting for the Canadians. Like he got ran out of Dodge.
Right.
Like
right.
He didn't stop any puck. Like the puck could have hit him by accident.
Right. He was sitting there reading the paper, having a cup of coffee next to the net. Oh, what's that? What's that black thing that just went in the net?
Yeah. Like I'm supposed to stop it.
Yo, I thought I was supposed to let it go in. I was trying to be polite to the other team.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
that hurt him. Because Marchand has played amazing. He's gone from being just a rat to an all around great hockey player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's, I guess, I mean, I think him and Luch, and I would try to find someone to take Krejci. That's what I would do.
Really?
I think you have to.
Yeah.
See, you already got the Spooner's playing center. Hmm. Spooner took his job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I kind of feel like the Bruins, in a weird way, are like the Spurs. In the NBA, I know I've drawn that analogy again, but like the Spurs are like coming together as like a veteran team now. Like they've won eight straight. They had some injuries. They rested people. So there could be like, you could be right. The Bruins could kind of go pretty deep, because it feels like the key pieces are kind of coming together at the right time. But it's been an up and down season as a fan, like where you're like, and I think the expectations, even though they can be like unreasonably high for like, Bruins fans are always like, we got to win the cup. Like every year they think they should win the cup, right? Like, right. I guess every fan. But like, even given factoring in that we have sort of these great, crazy expectations, it's like, this was definitely like halfway through the season, they were talking about getting rid of Claude Julien up there. The press was like,
yes,
you know. And so I hadn't seen that in a while. Like that was the first year where it was like, you know.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be gone, but they kind of woke up when they got Krejci back and then Chara came back. They kind of woke up a little bit, then they sunk.
Yeah.
And then literally Luch just kind of looked like old Luch for about 2 weeks there and just put those kids on his back.
I just don't see them getting through the Rangers if they get that. You know what I mean? Like I don't.
I think the Rangers are the only team in the East that doesn't have a week. That doesn't have a, like, a, I right. mean, I think Yandel's a skirt. But I mean, I'm really going to pick on their fifth defenseman if Klein comes back. I mean, you know, compared to every other problem every other team has,
right.
You know, since you're from Rhode Island and from Boston, I get to ask you the question because I watch like if I'm not on the road, I watch like five games a night, and I can't stand Jack Edwards.
Yeah, I know.
Brick's okay, but how do you put up with it? You love or hate or what's
you kind of put up with it. You roll your eyes. You're like, it's like that Charlie Brown like thing with a teacher, wah, 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 and you just kind of like you tune it out. Like, okay. you know what I mean? Like, what is it that drives you crazy? What's the
Just kind of everything. I mean, like, just kind of everything. But mainly his like. He's a homer, and there's tons of homers. And Pittsburgh has the Hall of Famer Mike Lang. He got kicked out of the television for the money, but just like the violence part, it's always so over the top. Like you could tell he's like the kid that never got in a fight in his life.
Yeah,
but
he's so offended that the other guy that does that again. I'm going back to basketball. It's like Tommy Heidsen for the Celtics. Like if you ever watch a Celtics game, it's like, oh my god, he was raped by that guy. Like, and it's like, not really Tommy. He just hit him across the arms.
Or it's always like okay, like a fight. Even if you look it up on hockey fights, whatever, it's like a draw.
Yeah,
and he'll be like, oh, you know, he 30 times. Oh, he's dead. He's dead. I'm telling. He's like screaming. It's like he's like an 8-year-old.
I know.
It's like you're supposed to be an announcer.
I know. But he's feeding people who like, you know, he's old school, right?
Yeah.
So like my uncles and stuff like they love that kind of, right? They love kind of play-by-play because it's like he gets everybody so worked up. Because I remember hearing like, I would listen to him on the radio, right? And then I go like, oh my God, I got to go see like what he just described and replay. I'm like, it wasn't anything like that.
Yeah. It stinks because we got to wrap it up. It's a busy sideshow. But Paul, your plug, sir?
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Mercurio, MECURIO, one R. If you put two R's in, there's another guy, similar spelling. He's an actor. He was in Strictly Ballroom in these movies. Don't go to his thing. Go to mine. Paul Mercurio. PaulMercurio.com. I got a new CD out. It's Not Me, It's the World. And I got a podcast myself, The Paul Mercurio Show on iTunes. And I've had, you know, I know you get a lot of sports fans. I've had Sugar Ray Leonard, John Sally, Mark Schlereth, Bob Costas, and then like comedians, Jay Leno, Stephen Colbert, Paul McCartney from the Beatles. So I've had a lot of cool people on. So check that out on iTunes, Paul Mercurio Show.
Well, you know, thank you for coming. It's a shame. I know you're a busy guy.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to get here early, but stuff going on.
Yeah, it's LA. It's impossible to get here early.
But I'd love to hang more, man.
Please come back. The captain will be back next week.
You're the nicest Pittsburgh fan I've ever met, by the way.
Don't let that rumor get out. here's a huge plug for me. You know, I very rarely plug the big stuff. All In Tour hits New York City again, May 8th and 9th, obviously the great Paul Verzi, special guest Giannis Pappas, Gotham, May 8th and 9th. Get your tickets now. Hopefully we'll come back and hope, you know, it depends, whatever. We have all summer to talk about what they shouldn't have done, what they should have done. Hopefully the mistress gets in and then I'm on KABC. Thank you to the great Andrew. Thank you all of our listeners/hockey friends. Keep the tweets, keep the likes.
Can I mention one other thing?
Yes.
I was on Sports Nation, and you can see my appearance on my website, paulmercurio.com. So.
All right. I hate that show, and I hate that chick. F. Michelle Beadle. And that's it. I'm Joe Bartnick. Puck off. I hope everyone's happy, and there was enough. I was tortured enough, because I know all you guys wanted me to cry about the Kings and the Pirates.